Our final selection is a mixed collection of items. This includes an appeal for suggestions for a name for a guide dog, information on how Remembrance Sunday may take place within coronavirus restrictions, and the retirement of a BBC Look East reporter.
The Norwich Guide Dog Forum has asked for suggestions for the perfect name for a future guide dog. The pooch will be named in October next year, before it begins guide dog training to mark the 90th anniversary of the first guide dog partnership in the UK. People across Norwich are being encouraged to put forward their suggestions, and no name is off limits. Once the pooch is named, people will be able to follow the progress of its life-changing training, which takes between 18 to 24 months, and even get to meet the pup. Annette Smart, media volunteer at Norwich Guide Dog Forum, said, "We've never asked the public to name a dog before, although other guide dog organisations have done so. We hope that this raises awareness of the importance of guide dogs, as well as giving people something to talk about during the pandemic." Alongside naming the new guide dog, the Norwich Guide Dog Forum has also set up a fundraising target of £5,000. They have launched a Just Giving page, and all donations will go towards funding the training and equipment needed for a guide dog. Scott Valance, a forum coordinator at Norwich Guide Dog Forum, who is supported by his guide dog Benji, said, "Many of the forum members are guide dog owners and know just what an amazing difference a guide dog and other services run by guide dogs make to people who are visually impaired. We hope the people of Norfolk will help us reach our £5,000 target, and we'll have a guide dog, Puppy, named by the local community to mark Guide Dog's 90th anniversary next year." The Norwich Guide Dog Forum is made up of guide dog owners, volunteers, and supporters of guide dogs. So to suggest a name for the puppy, email norwichguidedogforum@gmail.com. That's norwichguidedogforum@gmail.com.
Organisers of Remembrance Sunday events in Norfolk are being urged to do all they can for them to go ahead, whilst ensuring that they remain, quote, dignified and safe, unquote. In a letter outlining the county's approach to November's annual Day of Remembrance, Dr. Louise Smith, Norfolk's Director of Public Health, says, quote, "It's our current intention to support local areas to enable some form of COVID-19 secure public act of remembrance to take place where it is safe to do so and where government regulations still permit it," unquote. It comes as the Royal British Legion said that it would not be organising its normal parades, which often involve dozens of older veterans, instead encouraging people to safely mark Remembrance Sunday in a socially distant way. While parades and memorials may still take place, with the final decisions up to councils, many are already cancelled. Norwich City Council said that the public event at the War Memorial outside City Hall will not be going ahead. Despite the absence of mass gatherings, the Royal British Legion is still asking citizens to pay their respects, either by taking part in a 2-minute silence from their doorsteps at 11 a.m. on Sunday, November the 8th, or by watching events on television. The Poppy Peel appeal is also running as usual, despite the pandemic.
Last week, BBC Look East reporter Kim Riley retired from the role he has held dear for 38 years, which saw him report on a huge range of issues affecting the East, from grisly murders to light human interest tales. Mr. Riley was born in Brighton and began his journalism career in print for the Falmouth Packet, before moving into broadcasting with the BBC in 1979 at Radio Brighton. In 1982, he landed a role at Look East, where he remained for the rest of his career, retiring on Wednesday, the 21st of October, at the age of 70. Having become a recognisable face to viewers and fellow journalists alike. He said, "Starting at Look East, I had no real roots in East Anglia, but have certainly developed them over the years. I will really miss the fantastic teams I have worked with and the office banter. So much has changed over the time I've been broadcasting. If you had told me at the very beginning we would be able to do outside broadcasts, I'd have thought you were mad." Mr. Riley added, "I was incredibly lucky to be able to cover a huge range of things during my time at BBC Look East, and I had incredible support. But I'm now 70, and the industry is going through such a change, I thought it was the right time for me to go."
Mystery surrounded the much-delayed arrival of a postcard addressed to Miss Eva Brown, containing a century-old message from her loving cousin Florrie, that was posted through the letterbox of 72 Glebe Road in Norwich. Philip and Rosalie Nicholson, who live in Thurning, but have owned the Victorian terrace house for 30 years, were left mystified by the surprise late delivery. And now the descendants of Miss Eva have finally received the message intended for her. Her grandniece, Rosie Moncur Brown, who runs Rosie's card shop in Sproston, said, "Eva was my granny's sister. Walter, who's mentioned on the card, would have been my great-granddad. I can remember my dad talking about Auntie Eva. It's so strange this postcard has suddenly appeared, whether it came by post or someone has popped it through the door." The 1911 census shows Eva, then aged 9, was living at 72 Glebe Road with her parents, Walter Brown, a carpenter, 38, her mother, Elizabeth, 39, and 9 siblings, Ethel, who at 14 was already working in the boot trade, Walter, 12, Gladys, 10, Arthur, 7, Doris, 6, Ivy, 4, and Lily, just 1, and baby Alfred, aged 2 months. Lily's daughter, Ruth Brown, who was excited to receive the postcard with her niece Rosie, said, "It's amazing that 10 children lived in that little house. I suppose the girls had one bedroom and the boys the other, and then Granny and Grandad probably had the front bedroom."
Otto, a 6-month-year-old miniature dachshund, was rushed to the vets following a sticky situation. The canine had bitten off more than he can chew when he ingested 5 pieces of chewing gum. His owner, Emma Turner Frey, became concerned Otto could be in danger after spotting an array of chewing gum papers on the carpet. The 44-year-old said he had used a bean bag to jump onto the table and help himself. Otto stunk of mint, so he knew it was him who had eaten it. The chewing gum contained xylitol, which is highly poisonous to dogs, and in extreme cases can cause fatal liver damage. Miss Turner Frey said, "We are really experienced, careful dog owners. We had never even heard of xylitol before this." Otto was showing no symptoms, but Miss Turner Frey did not want to take any chances, and he was treated within less than an hour. Since then, Otto, who is still taking medication, has bounced back and has not let the experience dampen his inquisitive nature. When asked what advice she would offer to fellow pet owners, Miss Turner Frey said, "You've got to have eyes in the back of your head. Watch where you put any edibles. You really can never be too careful."